Hello and welcome to Leading Into Tomorrow, a podcast series from EY, looking at how governments are using technology-driven strategies to help deliver their visions of a better future. I'm your host, Kate Borsay, and each episode we're joined by expert guests from around the world sharing their specialist insight. Our focus this time is on the digital skills shortage that many governments are facing in their workforce and the strategies public sector leaders are implementing to alleviate that pressure and deliver a better service and experience for citizens. Joining me are Thomas Beautyman, Deputy Director of Government Digital Capability at the UK Cabinet Office. Hello, Thomas.
Hello.
Josie Kluwer, Partner, People Advisory Services, EY UK and Ireland. Hello, Josie.
Hi.
And Arno Bertrand, EY Global Government and Public Sector Consulting Leader. Hi, Arno.
Hello, Kate.
Thomas, let's start with you. You're responsible for how the UK government grows its capability in digital and data. Can you outline your recruitment priorities for digital data and technology roles known as DDATs in the civil service?
So right now in government, in UK government at least, we have something like about 4,000 vacancies. So that 4,000 vacancies represents a gap in our capacity to deliver services for citizens. It means that we're in a position where we have to engage other third parties to help us to bridge that gap. And to address that challenge, we are doing a number of things. We are going through a process of transforming our recruitment service so that candidates and vacancy holders have a seamless experience. That's our vision. That's our holy grail. We're also thinking carefully about what is our overall employee value proposition. What are all the reasons why somebody might choose to come and join us? And then all the reasons why somebody might choose also to stay with us. And that obviously includes pay, but it also includes actually many other aspects of why we make a choice. Everything from the kind of work that we're going to be doing, the environment that we want to work in, the opportunities that there are to grow and have really fulfilling careers.
Josie, what's the picture in terms of the UK and Ireland jobs market currently in relation to the shortage of DDAT skills? How significant is the shortfall overall?
Yeah, well, lots of people are describing it as a skills crisis. And the picture that Thomas paints about the UK government, I think, is shared by all organisations up and down the country. So 81% of organisations in the UK say they need more digital skills. And the UK government's analysis suggests that this costs the UK economy £63 billion a year. So what that means is that Thomas and the government are competing with lots of organisations who are in the same spot, and they're competing for the same skills and the same talent. So all organisations are thinking about how they attract and retain the same people. And what we're seeing is a pay differential opening up. So digital skills attract up to 29% more in pay, and that increases as you go up the scale and get more senior. We're seeing organisations really invest in upskilling and reskilling.
Thomas, when we look at your role of upskilling the digital capabilities of the UK civil service, what are the main challenges that you're facing?
So we think about digital and data capability, I suppose, in terms of two key groups. The first group is all of those people who might identify themselves as digital makers, the people building systems like Universal Credit and other flagship systems in the UK civil service. They're coders, they're delivery managers, they're user researchers. And in our government, that represents about 20,000 permanent civil servants. There's then everybody else, because all of those other civil servants, there's all of those leaders who also need to play a part and feel skilled and confident to understand how they might use data effectively, how they might build services that deliver really tangible, improved outcomes for citizens. So our focus is across both of those groups. There's the 20,000 digital makers, and then there's 500,000 plus other civil servants. Probably the biggest challenge is simply, to build on Josie's point, the ability for the market to serve what we need. There is just simply not enough skills in the UK labour market to go around. So we are competing. In some cases, we compete between government organisations, between government departments, between central and local government. In many cases, though, it's between, I suppose, public sector and private sector. And that means we need to get smarter with telling our own story. More critically, however, like many other organisations, it is increasingly recognised that we need to grow talent from within.
Arno, EY recently published a report called How Can Government Workers and Technology Align to Serve Future Citizens? Can you give us some of the key takeaways from the research?
Yeah, sure, with pleasure. First and foremost, I would say that to better service as citizens, you have both to put citizens and public sector employees at the center of the game, to bring both value to the citizen, or whether it is in fact citizen or businesses, and to civil servants. Second, it was quite interesting to see that only 7% of public agencies are meeting their digital transformation goals at the moment, which means that there is still a gap and that governments are still very late when it comes to digital transformation and digital services, which is key to offer today stronger and more efficient public services. And there is a huge expectation from the population after COVID and with people working more from home. There is as well a key issue by transforming digitally the state to strengthen the public sector brand and attractiveness. Thirdly, I would say that our report proposed four strategies to kind of reinvent the public sector workforce. The first one is definitely to better forecast workforce needs, especially at a time where technology and innovation are constantly changing the right skills you need to operate. The second point is definitely to bridge the skills gap, and we spoke about it, and it is all about recruiting, training, and retain. The third one is to enhance the employee experience. It's really to build experience that are moving from silos, or what it was the case in the past time. People were working for the Ministry of Finance for their whole life, to a full mobility. And this is a unique occasion for government and for public servant, because most of the time, government are one of the, if not the biggest, the largest employers in the country. And therefore, they can offer an exceptional experience that is hardly to find in the private sector. And the last one is definitely to change the government leaders' culture and the way to manage various generation with various expectations.
Josie, when we look at the planning involved to digitally upskill the public sector workforce, how much is the sheer scale of it proving to be a hindrance to that transformation?
When we think about transformation in the public sector, we need to prioritise the skills that we do have. So where there is scarcity, i.e. not enough digital skills, we need to make sure that they're in the right place, and therefore linking the deployment of digital skills to workforce planning is really important. And then the second thing that I think is really important to build on what Thomas was saying is not just about the digital makers, so our digital experts, but really thinking across the whole of the civil service or the whole of the public sector, because there is no public sector role that doesn't need to understand, be literate with, be fluent with data, digital and technology. An example from somebody I was talking to the other day who works in the justice system, she was pointing to the Agatha Christie court case in the UK, which was about a footballer's wife who changed the different settings on her Instagram to identify who had been leaking stories about her. The judge presiding over that case really needs to understand what is it you can do with Instagram, what is it you can do with social media, so that he, in this case, could be effective in his role.
Thomas, let's talk about how government can develop digitally aware leaders to challenge established practices, manage digital transformation, and encourage employees to embrace a digital mindset. Walk us through the process of that.
To some people, digital is a foreign word. For some, it conjures up sort of connotations of the IT crowd program, where there's a sort of a small office of IT geeks in the corner of your organization that somehow serves all of your IT needs. To some people, though, it's just a bit of a mystery. It's a black box that they don't really understand. And in many cases, and this includes leaders, they don't necessarily feel confident to go and find out or really ask, maybe even in some cases, some quite simple questions as to what does it really mean and what does it mean for their business. So last year we set out for the first time a set of standards for senior civil servants that we are helping them to get to, which explains almost the essential skills and confidence that they need to fulfill their roles in the future. They might be in commercial, in HR, in an operational delivery role or a policy role. But what we set out was that we expect in future they will feel confident to use data in a really intelligent way to make sure that when they're presenting a business case, for example, they're able to use the right visuals and be confident in the integrity of their data and the story that they're telling. We want them to be able to work with a user-first mindset to really get under the skin of what do their users, their citizens that they may be serving, really need from the services. We want them to be innovative, to help their teams to try different things and different ways of delivering and evolve their products. So step one for us was defining that standard. Step two is making sure that we have a suite of products, of training courses, of learning that sits behind that so that senior civil servants can go and genuinely equip themselves with those new skills. And then, of course, everything that goes with it is the campaign around it. And then the sponsorship from the very highest levels of government to be able to role model and demonstrate the skills that you need and show senior civil servants that they should be looking to play their part and lead from the front.
Goodness. Arno, let's go on to you. The World Economic Forum estimates that to adapt to the new tech-enabled workplace, public sector workers will have to change around 40% of their core skills in the next 5 years. Globally, how are governments dealing with the challenges of upskilling their workforce?
Well, you raised quite a challenge, and I will say that it varies a lot from a country to another, but with some common trends. The first one is definitely the effort of government to recruit new digital talents, like data scientists, cyber experts, and so on. The more difficult is both to train the top and middle management through academy or online training. And even more, and that's probably the shared weak point across the globe, which is to reskill or to upskill the vast majority of public servants. We have seen some progress in some case in some departments, like, for example, in tax office that was often in advance on that field of digital skill reskilling and digital transformation. Same probably on the police forces or security forces that are a lot using data to improve their services. But there is still some part of the government that is very far away. And I will take one that was deeply impacted by COVID, which is education, and especially teachers. And at the moment, if you take most of them, even if there is some best practice in some country like Australia, for example, we both need to improve their technology skills, their capacity, for example, to use Teams or some other platform, but as well to adapt their pedagogy to new way of learning.
Finally, whether it's recruitment, retraining or retention, what advice do each of you have for government leaders facing digital skills shortages? Josie, some nuggets of wisdom from you first.
I think I'd say that government leaders have to lean into the fact that there aren't enough digital skills to go around, and therefore they can't rely on just recruiting people. They absolutely need to think about training, skilling, upskilling, reskilling.
And Thomas?
I would have two pieces of advice, I suppose. Firstly, don't underestimate what you've already got. Our most precious resource is the people that we've already got. And even when we talk about digital skills, actually, there are many people who maybe already have a large proportion of the skills that they need to play those digital roles, but they might need some help to acquire more skills. I think my second piece of advice would be to invest or not invest. It is a choice, and it's really important now that I think leaders and decision makers understand the risk and the consequence of not thinking proactively about the resources that they need and investing ahead of time.
And Arno?
Well, probably three words. Train, train, and train, both to have the better resources, to retain these resources and to increase public sector attractiveness and branding, and as well to take full advantage of the amazing potential of innovative digital technologies. Because if you don't have the right resources internally, if you don't train your people, you will never manage to fully transform in a digital way or to fully become digital at the government level.
some common themes there. Look, that's it for this episode. Thank you very much to all of you for joining us. It's been a fascinating conversation, hasn't it? Thomas, thank you to you.
Thank you.
Josie, thank you.
Thanks.
And Arno, once again, thank you to you.
Thank you, Kate.
Well, that's it for now. But do join us again for more insight into how governments are delivering technology-driven strategies. Also, do subscribe to this series so you won't miss an episode. From me, Kate Borsay, thanks for listening, and bye for now.